can move on to the next talk, which is going to be delivered by our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Hadi Al-Madkhali. He is going to deliver the talk which we requested him to deliver, because many of the brothers in this country who are resident in this country know the situation in this country, and they know that some of the problems that we're receiving come from certain directions. And as we know, over the last few talks, at least our Sheikh Salim al-Jalali was here, so we make no apology upon the Dawah Salafiyah. We make no apology for calling ourselves Salafis. We make no apology for this. We don't hide, like the Sheikh Muhammad al-Anji said today, we don't hide everything that's up on the table. We put our cards on the table and we let the people know what we're upon, so there's no secret meetings, there's no secret society, and the people are clear upon the manhaj of the Dawah Salafiyah with regard to every issue that comes with it. So therefore, we ask the Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Hadi Al-Madkhali to do the talk, and we impart the talk, the Salafi Dawah, and the different Jama'ats of today, and the different groupings of today. The Salafi Dawah and the different groupings of today. So therefore, this talk is going to be very explicit in the names and the personalities that are mentioned, and the groups that affect the Dawah Salafiyah directly in the West, in the United States, in the United Kingdom. So we ask the brothers and sisters not to run away with anything out of context, and to take the talk as I've introduced it as something which is meant to be explicit, and we ask the Sheikh himself to do this. So without further ado, I'll pass you on to our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Hadi Al-Madkhali.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأصلي وأسلم على أفضل خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فإن من دواعي الغبطة والسرور أن يرى المسلم إخوة له في الله في هذه البلدان الكافرة يتمسكون بالإسلام ويدعون الناس إليه ويحرصون على ذلك الإسلام الذي كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه رضي الله عنهم أجمعين الفرقة الناجية والطائفة المنصورة التي جاء نعتها ووصفها في الحديث النبوي الشريف وهذه منقبة عظيمة وخصيصة كبيرة لمن سلك هذا الدرب في الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى في حين أن كثيرا ممن ينتسب إلى الدعوة يدعو الناس كما يقول إلى الإسلام لكن ما هو الإسلام الذي يدعو إليه؟ إنه ليس الإسلام الصافي الذي تركنا عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه الكرام رضي الله عنهم بل تجد فيه خليطا ومزيجا من التصورات الفاسدة في دين الإسلام والعقائد المنحرفة المخالفة للعقيدة السلفية الصحيحة ومع هذا كل ذلك لا يهم هؤلاء الدعاة وإنما يهمهم أن ترفع فقط شعارا للإسلام ولو بالكلام، وإن لم تطبق الإسلام الصحيح الذي جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويزعمون أن من دعا إلى الله جل وعلا وبصر الناس بما يجب عليهم في دين الله جل وعلا عقيدة وعبادة وشريعة ومعاملة وأخلاقا، يزعمون أن من دعا إلى الله على طريق السلف الصالح يفرق جماعات المسلمين ويحدث الفرقة في الصف بسبب ماذا؟ زعموا أنه بسبب حرصه على تنقية الإسلام مما ألحق به وليس منه، زعموا أنه بهذا يفرق المسلمين. وإن الدعوة السلفية هي الدعوة الصحيحة الكاملة الشاملة لجميع نواحي الحياة التي قامت على أوثق عرى الإيمان، وإن أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله. وإذا كانت هذه أوثق عرى الإيمان فلا بد أن تعرف ما يحبه الله فتأتيه، وتعرف من يحب ما أحبه الله فتحبه، وتعرف بالمقابل ما يبغضه الله فتبغضه، وتعرف من يبغض ما يبغض الله فتحبه، وتعرف من يحب ما يبغض الله فتبغضه لله جل وعلا. وجماع ذلك أن تعرف أهل السنة والأثر الصادقين المتمسكين بالإسلام كما ينبغي فتحبهم لله وفي الله، وتعرف أهل البدعة والفرقة فتبغضهم لله وفي الله، وفي الوقت نفسه ترحمهم وتشفق عليهم وتدعوهم إلى دين الإسلام الصحيح. فإن تابوا وتابوا ورجعوا فالحمد لله على هدايته لهم، وإلا فلا طريق إلى الالتقاء معهم حتى نرد على رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم القيامة على حوضه. أيها الإخوة في الله، إن الدعوة السلفية المباركة لم يضع خطوطها أحد من الناس، ولم يحدد منهجها أحد من الناس، وإنما جاء بذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، حيث يقول كما في الحديث الصحيح: افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة، وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة، وستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة، كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قيل: ومن هم يا رسول الله؟ قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: هم من كان على ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. وإن أي عقيدة تخالف ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه فهي عقيدة ضلال، ومعتقدها ضال كائنا من كان. فمثلا عقيدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التي جاء بها من عند الله وسأل عنها أصحابه وأقرهم عليها في مسألة الجهة لله جل وعلا، هي جهة العلو، الرحمن على العرش استوى، أأمنتم من في السماء؟ ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: ربنا الله الذي في السماء. ويسأل الجارية التي ضربها سيدها، ثم جاء يستفتي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ماذا يجب عليه فيما فعله مع أمته، فتريث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قليلا حتى سأل الجارية: أين الله؟ قالت: في السماء، وأشارت بيدها. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لسيدها: اعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. فما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليشهد بالإيمان لهذه المرأة وهي على خطأ وباطل، فهذه عقيدته صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما سأل المرأة وأقرها على جوابها وصحح ذلك الجواب. فهو اعتقادنا من عصره صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى يومنا هذا. فإذا جاءنا شخص وقال: إن الله ليس في السماء، يعني جهة العلو، فهل هذا على عقيدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ الجواب: كلا، بل هو ضال في هذه المسألة، مخالف للصحيح. فكيف يجمع بين من هذه عقيدته وبين من يقول بما قال به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ لا شك إن الأمر الذي يجب على ذلك المؤمن الموحد أن يباين ذلك المعتقد لهذا الاعتقاد الفاسد وينصح له، فإذا قبل نصيحته ورجع فهو أخوه والحمد لله، وإلا وجب قطعه وهجره وتحذير خلق الله منه، لأنه جاء بما يصادم ويعارض سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا مثال فقط في الأسماء والصفات، ومثال آخر في توحيد الإلهية. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء بهذا الدين ودعا الناس إليه حتى يعبد الله وحده لا شريك له، فأنكر عبادة الأصنام والأوثان والأشجار والأحجار وجميع المعبودات الباطلة من دون الله، من طواف بغير الكعبة ومن سؤال للمخلوقين فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. فمن متى على طريقته كيف يستوي هو ومن يزعم أنه داعية إلى دين الإسلام وهو يجوز الطواف بالقبور ويجوز سؤال الأموات الحاجات وكشف الكربات ورفع البليات واستدرار الرزق وغير ذلك؟ لا شك أن هذا في أسلوبه في الدعوة مصادم لما سلكه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإنه عليه الصلاة والسلام أنكر على من قال ما شاء الله وشاء محمد، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: أجعلتني لله نداء؟ قل ما شاء الله وحده. وهو القائل: من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك. وهو القائل للصحابة رضي الله عنهم لما خرجوا معه في غزوة حنين إلى الطائف ومعه من مسلمة الفتح، أي الذين أسلموا عام الفتح، معه 3000 رجل منهم، فلما مروا بالمشركين وقد عكفوا على سدرة شجرة، سدرة ينوطون بها أسلحتهم، يعني يعلقونها، يقولون لهذه الشجرة ويسمونها ذات أنوار. فقال بعض هؤلاء: يا رسول الله، اجعل لنا ذات أنوار كما لهم ذات أنوار. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الله أكبر، إنها السنن، قلتم والذي نفسي بيده، كما قالت بنو إسرائيل لموسى: اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. الحديث. مع أن الذين طلبوا هذا الطلب ليسوا من الراسخين في الإيمان، بل هم ممن أسلم قريبا عام الفتح، ومع هذا لم يمنع ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أن يرد عليهم بهذا الرد القوي. فما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: هم حدثاء عهد بالإسلام وأنا أغض الطرف عنهم حتى لا ينفروا ويتركوا الإسلام، لا، وإنما أغلظ لهم في المقال حتى يكون هذا أوقع في الزجر والردع لهم عن الشرك. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله في زاد المعاد معلقا على هذا الكلام، قال: وفي هذا مشروعية الإغلاظ على الجاهل عند التعليم، لأنك إذا لم تظهر الأمر هذا بهذه الصورة ظن أنه أمرا سهلا يسيرا، فربما ارتكبه ولا يبالي به. وفي هذا رد على من يؤخرون الدعوة إلى التوحيد ومحاربة الشرك وقطع وسائله على الدعاة السلفيين بدعوى تألف القلوب. إننا معاشر الدعاة إلى الله على بصيرة إلى منهج السلف، إنما ندعو الناس إلى دين الإسلام، وإذا لم يكن البيان هنا لدين الإسلام والتحذير من الشرك فمتى يكون؟ وما قيمة الأمر الذي ندعوهم إليه؟ إن كنا صادقين أننا ندعو الناس إلى الإسلام، فالآن في مثل هذه الصورة الإسلام يهدم من أساسه. فإذا سكتنا فما هو رأس المال الذي بقي لنا؟ فقل للذين يقولون هذه المقالة رويدا على أنفسكم. وشيء آخر هو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محتاج إلى هذا العدد لتكثير جيش المسلمين حتى يقابل به أعداء الإسلام من المشركين في الطائف، ومع ذلك لم يقل: لعلي إذا أغلظت عليهم يرجعوا ويتركونا ونحن في حاجة إليهم، بل قام بالبيان، لأنه ربما مات المقاتل والمجاهد وهو على هذه العقيدة الشركية، فماذا يستفيد حينئذ؟ إن الدعاة إلى الله على منهج السلف الصالح في هذه الأعصار المتأخرة هم الذين يقومون بالدعوة إلى الله على بصيرة وعلى علم، منتهجين في ذلك طريقة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإن الأهواء والبدع التي مضت في القرون الخالية والعهود الماضية قد حاربتهم في سابق الزمان من جبهات عدة، فالصوفية الخرافية الشركية من جانب، والجهمية المعطلة من جانب، والمعتزلة من جانب، والأشعرية من جانب، والخوارج من جانب. ولكن أظهر الله أهل السنة والجماعة عليهم وكتب لهم النصر، وهذا هو مصداق كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورة، لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. وفي هذه الآونة المتأخرة اجتمعت هذه الجماعات، إن صح التعبير، وإلا فهي فرق. اجتمعت هذه الفرق الضالة من جهمية معطلة ومعتزلة وأشعرية وصوفية باختلاف طرائقها وخوارج، اجتمعوا جميعا تحت مظلة دعوتين اثنتين قامتا كما تقول كل منهما بالدعوة إلى الله. تلكم الجماعتان والمظلتان هما مظلة جماعة الإخوان المسلمين ومظلة جماعة التبليغ، إذ قد حوت الأولى جميع صنوف أهل البدع، أعني جماعة الإخوان، والثانية التبليغ حوت التصوف والشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. وسنبين هذا إن شاء الله بعد أن يتفضل أخونا بترجمة ما سبق الكلام فيه.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The Sheikh mentioned, after praising Allah and mentioning that the final result is for the righteous and pious believers, and after sending salutations upon the best of the creation, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his companions and followers, then he said, the Sheikh said, to proceed. It brings up a great pleasure that brothers, for the sake of Allah, to be seen in this land of the unbelievers. Brothers clinging to Islam and calling people to the true Islam and giving great attention to that. Calling to the Islam which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een were upon. Calling to that Islam. This being the way of the saved sect and the group, the victorious group, as was described by our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this true da'wah is indeed a great virtue and excellent quality. For the one who follows this way in calling to Allah, when there are indeed many people who attribute themselves to da'wah and to calling the people, as it is said, to Islam. But what is this Islam which they call to? Not the pure Islam which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us upon and his noble companions radiallahu anhum. Rather, you find that many of them call to something which is mixed and mingled with impure thought and deviant belief, totally against the correct Salafi Aqeedah. But this doesn't seem to bother these callers whatsoever. They are just concerned with raising up the name of Islam. They are calling to Islam, as if only the name was important. Whereas what they are calling to is not the true Islam which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to, but something else. And they claim that those who do truly call to Allah, to the true Islam, and they give the people true understanding of their religion and the true understanding of what their belief should be and how their worship should be and the prescribed laws and how they should apply the Islam and how they should deal with the people, those who call to these things correctly and call to correct manners, they claim that these who are upon the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, the people who call to this are upon the way of the pious predecessors, but they say these are people rather who split the Jama'ah of the Muslims and break the ranks of the Muslims. This is what they accuse, these callers. Why? Why do they claim this? They claim that one who is concerned that Islam should be purified from everything that is not from it, because it splits, they claim. Whereas the true da'wah, the da'wah of the Salaf al-Saleh, is complete, an all-embracing da'wah, which covers all aspects of life, and is based upon the soundest firm handhold of Islam, which is loving for the sake of Allah and hating for Allah's sake. So if this is the strongest handhold, the strongest thing to grip onto, then we must ask, what is it which Allah loves? What does Allah love? We need to know. What does Allah love? And who are those who are upon what Allah loves? We need to know who they are as well. And we need to know, what does Allah hate? And who are the people who are upon that which Allah hates and are doing that which Allah hates? And so, the ones whom Allah are doing what Allah loves for the sake of Allah. And the ones whom Allah hates and are doing what Allah hates, we have hatred for them, for Allah's sake. And the gathering of all this together is that we should know who are the Ahl al-Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah and the people of the narration. The people are truly following the Sunnah and the narrations from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we should love them for Allah's sake. And we should know who are the people of innovation and the deviant sect. And we should hate them for Allah's sake. But at the same time, have mercy and pity. Have pity upon them. And call them to the true Islam. We should have pity upon them and call them to the true Islam. If they repent and turn back to true Islam, then alhamdulillah, Allah has guided them. And if not, then how can we come together with them? How can that be so? How can we come together with them until all the believers come together at the house, the pond lake of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of resurrection? How can we join with them before that time? and ask for the blessed and true Saliki da'wah, then no man laid down its way and no man laid down its methodology. Rather, it was brought by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as occurs in the authentic hadith, that the Jews split into 71 sects and the Christians split into 72 sects, and this community was split into 73 sects. So they said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? The hadith continued, rather, all of them in the fire except one. All of them in the fire except one. So they said, who is that, O Messenger of Allah? So he said, those who are upon that which I am upon today, and my companions. So any aqidah, any belief and creed which goes against what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum were upon, then it is a misguided, deviant aqidah. And anybody who holds that as his aqidah is misguided. And an example of that, it was from the aqidah, the creed and belief of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he brought to us from Allah, and about which his companions asked, and he affirmed the correctness of it with regard to the question of where is Allah. So the Shaykh mentioned the ayah, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh al-Sawa, with the meaning that the most merciful, Allah is established, Allah is upon his throne, upon his arsh. And the second ayah with the meaning, do you feel safe from him who is above the heavens? And the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Lord is Allah who is above the heavens. He became angry with his slave girl and he hit his slave girl very severely. So he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him, what should he do about this? I've hit her so severely, what shall I do with her? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited until she was brought, until he questioned her. And what did he ask this? What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask as a test for this slave girl? Where is Allah? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, where is Allah? So she answered, above the heavens. And she pointed with her hand. Above the heavens. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based upon this answer of hers, said, free her, set her free, because she is a believer. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no way that he could approve of what she said if it was an error and it was something false. He could not agree with it. This is a matter of belief, of aqidah. He asked it to her, he asked her, and he approved of her answer. And this was the correct belief, and has always been the correct belief from that time until now. So if a person comes to us and says Allah is not above his heavens, or says something different, then is he upon the belief of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, he is not. Rather, he is astray, dalun, misguided, astray, contrary to what is correct, contradicting what is correct. So how can there be harmonization between what he is saying and what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? How can they be harmonized and brought together? So what is obligatory upon the believer who worships his Lord alone is to keep free and to be free from this evil belief which this person holds, and to give sincere advice to that person who holds such a belief, so that if either he will accept this advice and come back from this evil belief, and then if he comes back to the truth, then he is your brother. And alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks are for Allah. But if not, then you cut off from him. And you should warn our servants about the evil belief that he holds. Since he has brought that which totally contradicts what our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And this is one example. And a further example in worship was that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with this religion. He came with this religion and called the people to it so that Allah alone should be worshipped. Allah alone, and that no partner should be attributed to him whatsoever. And he destroyed and spoke against the worship of idols and against the worship of anything that is worshipped besides Allah, against the worship of stones, against the worship of trees, against the worship of any form of idol. And he spoke against tawaf of anything except the Kaaba. And he spoke against asking anything from the creation which they are not able to do. Something which only Allah is able to do. So anybody who is following that way, following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can you be along and be together with one who allows tawaf around graves, allows people to supplicate and to make requests of the feet of the dead in the grave, allows people to, when they have a need, to call upon the dead for their need, not call upon Allah, to call upon the dead, and to call upon the dead when they have any problems, that the dead one should help them? How can they work along with these people? When they need provision, they don't call upon their Lord, they call upon others besides him for their provision. There is no doubt that such a person as this will be in his means of da'wah, and in his da'wah will be directly opposed to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he criticized and spoke strongly against even a person who said, "It is as Allah wills and as his Messenger wills." The same. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strongly rebuked the person who said this and said, "Have you made me a rival to Allah? Rather say, it is what Allah alone wills." And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever swears by other than Allah has committed kufr, unbelief, or shirk. And it occurred with the companions when they went out for the battle of Hunayn. They went out to fight for the battle of Hunayn, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was there with many of his companions, and along with them were 3,000 men who had accepted Islam after the conquest of Mecca. They suddenly accepted Islam. So these new people who had newly accepted Islam and entered into Islam, the Shaykh corrected me, it was 2,000 men. 2,000 men along with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they saw from the unbelievers that they used to have a tree. The unbelievers had a tree where they'd put their weapons on, and they thought this gave them some sort of power or something. This is what the unbelievers thought, their evil belief. So some of these ones who had newly entered into Islam, they said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Will you not give us a similar tree to this?" You know, they hang their weapons on this tree for help. "Will you not give us also a tree like this? A tree with the same sort of tree? As just as these unbelievers have got a tree, can you not give us such a tree as well?" So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the strong rebuke to them, "Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. These are indeed the ways that have preceded. You have said by him in whose hand is my soul. You have said just as the people of Banu Israel, the people of children of Israel said, make us an object of worship as they have an object of worship." He said the same thing as them. So even though these were people who were not firmly founded in Iman, they had just accepted Islam after the conquest of Mecca, but he strongly rebutted them and firmly rebutted them. Then how can we now come along in our call and say, "Well, what about those people who do indeed say, these are new people in Islam, I'll ignore their mistakes, I'll overlook their mistakes because they're new into Islam"? No, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned them severely, rebuked them severely. Why? Because this is a matter of belief and a matter of shirk. So he warned them strongly against it. And as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah mentioned in Zad al-Ma'ad, this shows that it is indeed prescribed from our deen to be strict and severe against the ignorant one when teaching. So this is to be found. Be strict and severe. Because if you don't, in this matter, a person commits a thing of shirk, some shirk, and you are light and easy with him, and you treat him easily, then he'll think it doesn't really matter, it's not really serious. And so later on, he may fall into it again. It's a shirk. And this is also a reply to those who say that our dawah is too harsh, or those who are against the way in which shirk is fought, against those who fight shirk severely, and cut off any means to shirk. They speak against it, say this is harsh, this splits the Muslims. This hadith is a strong proof against them. Those who claim that rather what we should do, we should gather the hearts of the people, as they claim is their way. Rather, when we are calling to Islam, to the deen of Islam, we must make the things clear. When we are calling to the true religion of Islam, the true deen of Islam, we must make clear the error of shirk. Because if we do not call people to the truth and make shirk, the error of shirk clear there and then when we are calling to Islam, then when will we do so? At what stage will we ever make it clear? So if we are truly and sincerely calling them to the true Islam, then we will speak there and then. Because if we don't, what can we say later on? So we say to these people, you should think again. And it may have been said that these people, they would maybe make the excuse and say, well, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he needed a large number of men, of Muslims, to fight at the Battle of Hunayn, to fight against the Mushrik. He needed many men. But he still didn't say, well, we'll leave them, you know, later on we'll correct them, first we'll fight the Mushriks, and later on we'll correct these people. No, he didn't leave it and didn't say that, even though he was in need of a large number of people to fight the Mushriks. There was a large army of the Mushriks there. But he didn't leave it. Because if a person died upon the wrong belief, died upon this aqidah, he could die. If he was fighting in jihad, he could die upon this evil aqidah, this false belief. So, the ones who are upon the way of the pious predecessors in this time call upon true knowledge. And they are the ones who follow the way of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are the ones who have always been upon this true way. And but throughout the ages, the deviant sects and the innovations which have been there in the past, always been there and are still there, they have always fought against the people upon the truth. So the deviant Sufis and the Jahmis, the Jahmiyyah, who twist or deny Allah's attributes, and the Mu'tazila, and the Ash'ari, and the Khawarij, all of them from their angle, they attack the truth and attack the people of truth. Throughout the ages, they have done so. But Allah has manifested the people of the Sunnah and preserved them and made them manifest and uppermost and has written victory for them. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, there will not cease to be a group of my ummah manifest and uppermost upon the truth, not being harmed by those who betray them and those who oppose them, until Allah's affair comes about. But in these late ages, these jama'ahs, if it is possible to call them jama'ahs, because in truth they are sects, they are firqs. Even now they are, these jama'ahs, they are sects. Those sects who now are present, as was mentioned, the Mu'attira and the Jahmiya and the Ash'ari and the Sufis with all their different ways and the Khawarij, they are still present. And they are gathered, all of them are gathered under umbrellas nowadays. Under the umbrellas of two calls and two da'wahs. Each one saying that it calls to Allah, we call to Allah. And these two umbrellas are, first, the umbrella of the Jama'at al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin. And secondly, the umbrella of the Jama'at al-Tabligh. So the first of these two gathers all these types of innovators together within their umbrella. And the second gathers all the types of Sufis and forms of shirk in their umbrella. And this will be explained in what follows.
نعم نقول إن هاتين الطائفتين الإخوان والتبليغ كل واحدة منهما قامت بشن الهجوم والحرب على أهل السنة والجماعة. ولكن لا بد للحق من أن يبتلى بأهل الباطل، فعليه بالصبر والله متم له النصر. هذه الجماعات المعاصرة التي قامت على الساحة ويقال إنها تدعو إلى الله، لا بد أن يعرف حالها حتى يعرف المرء الحقيقة أين هي، ويكون حينئذ آخذا للشيء بعد علم وبصيرة واقتناع. فأما جماعة التبليغ فلأنهم لا يعتنون بالعلم لم تكثر لهم الكتابات في بيان منهجهم، ولكن في القليل الذي وجد مما كتبه بعض رؤوسهم كفاية ودلالة على منهجهم وعقيدتهم. فهم يقولون إنهم يدعون الناس ليدخلوا في الإسلام. ما هو الإسلام الذي نعرفه؟ أن الإسلام هو الاستسلام لله والانقياد له بالطاعة والخلوص من الشرك، هذا نعرفه عن الإسلام. أما هم فإنهم يقولون إن الإسلام وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله عندهم معناها إخراج اليقين الفاسد من القلب وإدخال الاعتقاد الصحيح، إخراج الاعتقاد الفاسد من القلب، إخراج الاعتقاد الفاسد من القلب وإدخال الاعتقاد الصحيح مكانه، حتى تعلم أنه لا خالق إلا الله ولا رازق إلا الله ولا محيي إلا الله ولا مميت إلا الله. هذا هو الإسلام عندهم. وفي الحقيقة هذا توحيد أبي جهل وأبي لهب، فإن أبا جهل وأبا لهب لم ينكرا هذا التوحيد، هذا توحيد الربوبية. ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله، قل من يرزقكم من السماء والأرض، إلى غير ذلك من الآيات، كلها تجد الجواب من هؤلاء المشركين الله الله الله. وهذا التوحيد لم يخرجهم من الشرك ولم يدخلهم في الإسلام، بل قاتلهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم يحقن هذا التوحيد دماءهم. فغاية التوحيد الذي تقوم به جماعة التبليغ هو توحيد الربوبية الذي لم تخالف فيه أمة من الأمم نبيها. ثم إضافة إلى ذلك هم جهمية معطلة، لأنهم متبعون لعقيدة أبي منصور الماتريدي وعقيدة الأشعري التي رجع عنها، وهذه العقيدة هي عقيدة الجهمية مع اختلاف يسير جدا. ثم كتب مؤخرا زعيمهم الذي مات من سنة ونصف تقريبا إنعام الحسن بخط يده كتابا يعترف فيه بأنهم على أربع طرائق صوفية: الطريقة النقشبندية، والطريقة الجشتية، والطريقة القادرية، والطريقة السهروردية. هذه طرائق صوفية ضالة منحرفة، وأقل طريقة لا تخلو من انحراف كبير. والجامع المشترك لهذه الطرائق الأربع أنها جميعها تقول بوحدة الوجود والحلول والاتحاد، وهذه أفسد العقائد على الإطلاق. إضافة إلى أنهم يحاربون العلم ولا يعتنون به، ويحذرون من العلماء. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يمدح العلماء ويقول: إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. وهم يحاربون العلماء ويقولون عنهم إنهم يفرقون المسلمين، وإنهم يثبطون المسلمين عن الخروج في سبيل الله. وما هو الخروج في سبيل الله؟ إنه دوران البلدان من بلدة إلى بلدة للدعوة إلى التوحيد الذي عرفوه مما ذكرناه سابقا، توحيد الربوبية. أما جماعة الإخوان فهي أم البلايا ورأس كثير من الشر في هذا الزمن، وإن هذه الدعوة في حقيقة أمرها لم تقم للدعوة إلى الله جل وعلا، وإنما هم جماعة طلاب ملك قاموا أول ما قاموا باعتراف حسن البنا. ومن كان في هذا المجلس متعاطفا معهم وينكر هذا المقال فعليه أن يثبت خلافه، ولن يستطيع. بل عندنا الوثائق من كلام حسن البنا أنه إنما قام لإعادة الخلافة التي سقطت، هذا هو الذي أقامه. ولذلك تجد دعوته خليطا في أتباعها، تجد فيها الصوفي الخرافي، وتجد فيها الجهمي، وتجد فيها المعتزلي العقلاني، وتجد فيها الديمقراطي، وتجد فيها القومي، وتجد فيها حتى
البحث العلماني. لماذا؟ لأن كل واحد من هؤلاء يطمع أن يكون ملكا. وصدق الله جل وعز إذ يقول في كتابه العظيم: ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. قال شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب في كتاب التوحيد عند التنبيه على الإخلاص لله جل وعز في قوله تعالى: ادعو إلى سبيل ربك، وقوله: قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله، قال في هذه الآية وجوب فيها أهمية التنبيه على الإخلاص، فإن كثيرا من الناس وإن دعا فإنما يدعو إلى نفسه. ولذلك كانت هذه الدعوة، دعوة الإخوان، مطاطة يدخل فيها كل من أراد أن يدخل. فمثلا ذكرت لكم البارحة حسن البنا في نفسه عنده تصوف، وهو نفسه يكتب على نفسه في مذكراته أنه كان يمشي إلى عزبة النواب 3 ساعات ليذهب إلى قبر السيد سنجر فيقيم عنده إلى صلاة الجمعة، ثم من بعد الجمعة يعودون بعد ذلك إلى الإسماعيلية، 3 ساعات مشيا على الأقدام أو 2.5 ساعات تقريبا. كل هذا من باب تعلقه بالقبور، وهو أيضا صاحب موالد خرافي منشد من الصف الأول للأناشيد الصوفية الخرافية. لا نقول هذا نحن، ولكن شهد بهذا عليه محمود عبد الحليم وهو أحد أعضاء المجلس التأسيسي لدعوة الإخوان، وشهد بهذا عليه عباس السيسي أو مصطفى السيسي، نسيت اسمه الآن، عباس السيسي في كتابه في قافلة الإخوان المسلمين أنهم كانوا يجوبون الشوارع وهم ينشدون الأناشيد الصوفية من أول غرة ربيع الأول وإلى 12 منه. وأما ما يتعلق بتساهله في أمر التوحيد فحدث ولا حرج، إن شئته من كتبه هو أو شئته من كتب أتباعه الذين عاشوا معه وعاصروه ودونوا مقالاته في كتبهم، مما لا يتسع المجال لذكره الآن. فهو صوفي قبوري مفوض في أسماء الله وصفاته، إضافة إلى أن دعوته كانت خليطا من جميع من ذكرنا لكم. وجانب الولاء والبراء في هذه الدعوة أضعف الجوانب، الذي هو أوثق عرى الإيمان لا يقيمون له وزنا ولا يلقونه بالا. فلهذا سمع بعضكم البارحة مقالته التي ألقاها أمام اللجنة الإنجليزية الأمريكية في عام 1949 ميلادي، حينما زارت هذه اللجنة مصر في قضية فلسطين، فتحدث أمامها جمع من الناس، ثم تحدث هو فقال: باسمي وباسم جماعة الإخوان المسلمين أقرر أن خصومتنا لليهود ليست دينية، بل إن القرآن نزل يحثنا على مصافاتهم ومصادقتهم، وقد أثنى عليهم وجعل بيننا وبينهم اتفاقا. وهذه الدعوة خرجت عددا من الناس يزعم لهم أنهم دعاء، وسأذكر للتمثيل 3 فقط: الأول الدكتور القرضاوي، الثاني الدكتور الترابي، الثالث باعتباره أقدم هؤلاء الدكتور السباعي. فأما الدكتور القرضاوي، فأما الدكتور الترابي فلا يخفى على الشرق والغربي المسلم والكافر بجميع عقيدتهم إن كانوا يتابعون الأخبار لا يخفى عليهم المؤتمر الذي أقامه يدعو فيه إلى الحوار بين الأديان ويسميه مؤتمر حوار الأديان، ويدعو فيه إلى إقامة الحزب الإبراهيمي. ما هو الحزب الإبراهيمي؟ إنه الحزب الذي يجمع بين اليهود والنصارى والمسلمين في طريق واحد لمحاربة الإلحاد والعلمانية. ما شاء الله، متى نتحد نحن واليهود والنصارى؟ وإذا مشينا معهم في أي نقطة نلتقي؟ هذا شيء. وقد أقام هذا المؤتمر الترابي مرتين في بلاد السودان، ورفع الصليب 14 مترا، واستقبل باب النصارى، ومع هذا كله لا يزال الترابي الداعية الإسلامي. فقط هذا جانب. جوانب أخرى تجدونها في صحف السودان التي يتحدث فيها الترابي، وكنت قد تكلمت عنها في أشرطة، ولعل الإخوة يترجمونها لكم بإذن الله. يشيع النفراني ويقال، يكتب في الجريدة: يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية، وهو نصراني. ويجتمع أتباع 50 دينا تقريبا في المؤتمر الأول، ويؤدون صلاة واحدة يسمونها صلاة السلام. فلا أدري هذه الصلاة على أي دين هي وبأي هيئة هي. هذا هو الإسلام الذي خرج من دعوة الترابي ولا يزال داعية إسلامية. كل هذا لا يحط من شأنه. أما ما يتعلق باتباع فقولوا ما شئتم، ما رميتم بسهم إلا وتصيبون ولن تخطئوا. فهو مع العلمانيين ومع القوميين ومع اليهود ومع النصارى ومع الروافض ومع النصيريين ومع الدروز ومع جميع من تتصورونهم، يدعون إقامة دولة إسلامية تجمع الناس تحت مظلتها. المسلم يطبق عليه الإسلام، واليهودي يطبق عليه اليهودية، والنصراني تطبق عليه النصرانية، ولا يتحاكم إلى الشريعة الإسلامية. وهذا قد بثه وكتبه في مقال له بعنوان معركة الدستور في مجلته نور الإسلام، وكتب هذا المقال في عام 1385 بالتاريخ الهجري، 1965 بالتاريخ النصراني. وقد تكلمت عليه مفصلا، ولعل الإخوة يترجمون ذلك لكم ويرونكم إياه إن احتجتم إليه. ومع هذا كله لا يزال هذا هو الإسلام. والقرضاوي قلت لكم البارحة لمن حضر، مات على خط شيخه حسن البنا حينما يقول: إننا لا نحارب اليهود من أجل العقيدة ولا لأنهم كفار، وإنما لأنهم اغتصبوا أرضنا. فلأجل هذا تجدهم خليطا. إذن ما هو الجامع بينهم؟
هو الذي قلناه في أول حديثنا، ليست الدعوة وإدخال الناس في دين الإسلام، وإنما إقامة الدولة الإسلامية. والدولة الإسلامية التي يريدون إقامتها إذا قامت تقوم على غرار دولة التراب، والدولة التي أشار إليها الدكتور السباعي، حيث يقول إنه لا يحال بين المرء وبين أن يترقى في أعلى منصب للدولة بسبب الدين أو الجنس أو اللغة. يعني لا مانع من أن يمسك المرء أعلى منصب في الدولة بسبب واحد من هذه الثلاثة، بسبب دينه أو جنسه أو لغته. أرأيتم؟ إضافة إلى الشرك الكثير الذي عنده في هذا الباب. ومن هذه الطائفة، طائفة الإخوان، خرجت جماعات التكفير المتعددة من أول يوم وإلى يومنا هذا. جماعة الجهاد هم منها، التكفير والهجرة هم منها، القطبيون السروريون هم منها. ولذلك عندكم هنا سرور صرح بهذا في أحد كتبه الشخصية، ولا أدري لو بلغه هذا الكلام يشكرني أو لا يشكرني، لأنه قال في أحد الأعداد من مجلته السنة: من كان يعرف عني غير هذا فليبرزه مشكورا. فأنا الآن أقول له، وإن شاءه أعطيته صورة منه على بريده بخط يده، وصل إلي هذا الكتاب من طريق من كاتبهم هو، يقول إن دعوته إنما قامت للإطاحة بعروش الظالمين، يعني الحكام. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر عن وجود الظالمين في آخر الزمن من الحكام، وأنهم سيجلدون الظهر ويأخذون المال ويستأثرون بشيء من الدنيا. فما موقفنا حيالهم؟ نقاتلهم يا رسول الله؟ قال: لا، ما أقاموا فيكم الصلاة إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا. هذا أمر رسول الله لنا بالصبر على ظلم الولاة إذا حصل ظلم. سرور يقول: نطيح بالظالمين. فمن أين تلقى دعوته هذه؟ إنها من الخوارج الذين لم يمتثلوا أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لأن الصبر على ظلم الوالي مع بقاء كثير من المصالح العامة خير من الخروج عليه لمصلحة شخصية وتذهب في مقابلها المصالح العامة. فمثلا خذوا أرض الصومال، كانت في عهد رئيسها السابق لا يخفى حالها على كثير ممن يتابعون الأخبار. وأخص أيضا بالذكر إخواننا الصوماليين هنا معنا في هذا المؤتمر. كانت البلاد آمنة، الطرق سابلة، الأعراض مصونة، الأموال محترمة، الدماء محقونة، العيش متوفر ولله الحمد. فلما حصل ما حصل وحصلت الفتنة، قطعت السبل وانتهكت الأعراض وسفكت الدماء ونهبت الأموال ومات كثير من الناس. ولهذا كان يقال: سلطان ظلوم خير من فتنة تدوم، سلطان ظلوم خير من فتنة تدوم. طيب، أين موقف سرور هذا من موقف أحمد؟ أحمد جلد ظهره رضي الله عنه، جاءهم ناس يقولون: لا سمع ولا طاعة لهذا الحاكم، نريد أن نخرج. قال أحمد: كفوا دماء المسلمين، الله الله في دماء المسلمين. لا تسفكوا دماء المسلمين، اصبروا حتى يستريح بر او يستراح من فاجر. إنا وجدنا في الآثار لا ما أقاموا فيكم الصلاة، يقوله أحمد رحمه الله تعالى، فرضي الله عنه صبرهم لأن الفتنة التي نزلت عليهم ليست فتنة عامة، بل هي خاصة نزلت على العلماء، امتحن العلماء، وبقية المصالح عامة قائمة. فلو قام الناس يطالبون بهذه المصلحة الخاصة لضاعت مصالح كثيرة عامة ولسفكت دماء عامة المسلمين.
This tape has been brought to you by Intashara Dawah Islamiyah, Troy, the Reign of Islamic Dawah. The location of our center is on your tape cover, as well as it should have a listing of our current classes. In the meantime, if you wish to visit us on the internet, our website is www.troid.org. Our email address is dawah@troid.org. Thank you for listening to this tape.
من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير.
No, those who believe and do good work, theirs will be gardens underneath which rivers flow. That is the great success.
Inna bafusha rabbika lashadid.
No, the punishment of thy Lord is firm.
So these two groups, the Fallen Muslims and the Brothers of Belief, they were established to attack the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. But indeed the truth will be put to trial by the falsehood. But if patience is there, if sabr is there, then Allah will grant the victory. So these groups were established, as it is said, to call to Allah, which is not the case, then their true state must be made clear and must be known, so that a person knows where they stand and a person can have knowledge and certainty of the reality of the affair. So with regard to the Jama'at al-Tabligh, then they give no importance to true knowledge. No importance at all to correct and true Islamic knowledge. And there are not many books that they produce, they don't produce any books of knowledge, and there are very few writings they produce. But in the few books written by their leaders, there is enough for us to see their belief, their aqidah, and their way, their methodology. They say, we were established to call the people to enter into Islam. That is what we are here for. Then the question is asked, what is Islam which we call the people to? Because what we know is that Islam is submission to Allah, and obedience to Him, submitting to Him in obedience, and being free from shirk, from association with anything in worship with Him. That's the correct meaning of Islam. With these people, Islam, what does it mean? What does the Shahada mean to the Tabligh? They say the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, means to remove false yaqeen or false belief from the heart and to enter true belief into the heart. This is what they say. Then if we want to know what is this true belief that we are supposed to enter into the heart, they say that La ilaha illallah means there is no creator except Allah, or there is no provider except Allah, or no one gives life except Allah, or no one gives death except Allah. This to them is the meaning of La ilaha illallah alone. Sheikh mentioned this was the tawheed of Abu Jahl. This was the tawheed of Abu Lahab. Not of the believers. Even these unbelievers, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they didn't even deny the tawheed he has just described. The tawheed of Rububiyyah, of Allah's Lordship, they didn't deny this. I was mentioned that with the meaning that if you ask them, these mushriks, if you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. The next ayah, if you were to ask them, who provides for you from the heavens and the earth, who gives you provision from the heavens and the earth, they will say, the mushriks will say, Allah. So they believe this. This is their belief. Allah, to any question like this, who is your Lord? They would say, Allah. This is the belief of the mushriks. But the Sabir, this is the tawheed which they go out to poor people to. And this tawheed, which those people had, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, and the mushriks, this is the tawheed that they had. This did not enter into Islam. This did not take them out of shirk. This did not stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from fighting against them and killing them and spilling their blood. No, it didn't stop him. He still did that. So what these people call to is merely Tawheed of Allah's Lordship only, nothing more. And no nation ever disputed with its prophet about this. And these people are also Jahmiya, deniers of Allah's attributes. Jahmiya Mu'attira. People who deny Allah's attributes. Because they follow the Aqidah of Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. And they follow the Aqidah of Abu Hasan al-Ash'ari that is attributed to him, which he himself abandoned. This is the Aqidah they follow. And this Aqidah, these Aqidahs, are the Aqidahs of Jahan. This is the Aqidah of Jahan ibn Safwan. It is very small difference. Very small difference between this Aqidah and the Aqidah of Jahmiyyah. And the head of the Tabligh, who died about a year and a half ago in Imam al-Hasan, he wrote a book affirming and agreeing to the four Sufi ways. These are the correct ways. If you affirm the Naqshbandi way, and the Chisti way, and the Qadiri way, and the Sahrawadi way, he affirms all of these deviant Sufi ways, and the least of these in seriousness is not free from great and serious deviation. And all of these four are gathered together by the same Wahdat al-Wujud. That everything is one. The Creator and the Created is one and the same, and the Creator, our Lord, is within creation. Higher is Allah above what they attribute to Him. This is what they do. This is gathered with all these sayings. They all agreed upon this. And they fight against knowledge. And they warn against the scholars. They fight through knowledge. And they warn against the scholars, the people whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised and said the scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet. They speak against and they warn against the true scholars. And so these are people who stand up the Muslims. And they warn these people who stop people going out in Allah's path, as they call it. Al-Khuruj fi sabilillah. So what is the Khuruj that they go out on? Wandering in the land from land to land, calling the people to Allah's Lordship, to Rububiyyah only. This is what they do. And as for the Ikhwan, this mother of great evil, and the gathering of great trials, in reality this was not established to call to Allah. It was not established for this, for da'wah to Allah was not established for this. Rather they are seekers after power and government only. They may say they are callers to Allah, they were not established for this. And Al-Hasan al-Banna himself affirmed this point. the affirmative is right in him. And anyone who wants to claim anything different, then he can prove contrary. He can try and prove contrary to this. Because we have written proof that established this. But his Jama'ah was founded merely because the Khilafah had fallen. The Khilafah had fallen and collapsed. So we will try and put it back again. Just that. That's what it is established. And this is why we find that amongst their members, there are the Sufis. They gather the Sufis. And the Jahmi. And the rationalists. And the people of democracy. And they gather the secularists. All these people and more, they gather. They're all gathered within this one thing. Since each one, what does he want? How can they gather all these different people? Because they all want the same thing. They just want power. Each one wants power. As opposed to, as the Sheikh mentioned, the ayah, ud'u ila sabili rabbi, bil-hikmah wal-ma'idhati al-hasana, call to the way of your Lord with the hikmah, the wisdom of the sunnah, and with fine preaching. And the second ayah, Sheikh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, quoted this ayah, and he quoted the further ayah, which was quoted with the meaning, say, this is my way. I call upon it upon certain knowledge. And Shaykh al-Islam, in his book, he brought this point at the point of sincerity, speaking about sincerity. And said, with this call, sincerity is an indication here of the importance of sincerity. And this ayah clearly shows us the importance of sincerity, because there are many people who call, many callers, but they call, many of them call to their own selves. They're called, but they call to themselves and nothing more. So this call mixes anyone who wants to enter into it. Anyone who wants to attain and has aspirations of gaining seats and power, he would enter into this call. And the Shaykh said, he mentioned last night, Hasan al-Banna, the Sufi, he spoke about him last night. And he himself admitted in his writings that he used to go out. His Muzakkarat, his memoirs, he mentioned that he used to go out sometimes walking for 2.5 hours in order to go to the grave of this person. A certain person was mentioned. He walked 2.5 hours just to reach this grave, and he'd sit there for some hours by this grave. And then he'd come back for the Jumu'ah prayer. And this established his own writing, along with all these innovative birth celebrations which he established as well, and evil Sufi songs which they got involved in. And these things are affirmed about him and about their group by Mahmoud Abdul Salim, one of their founders, the original founders of the group. He himself witnesses this as well, witnessed to this. This is what we used to do. We used to call to this and do this. And it was mentioned by this person called Assisi. Likewise, he said, yes, we used to have these Sufi style songs. And it was thought at the start of Rabi' al-Awwal. And they would begin with these same ceremonies and songs, and they carry on from the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And they have written it, these ones mentioned, they have mentioned these things and affirmed it. Likewise, from his books, and from the books of his followers, you find that he was a Sufi, a grave worshipper, a mufawwid, a person who, with regard to Allah's names and attributes, said they are just wordings whose meanings we are ignorant of. We don't know the meaning. This was his belief. And their da'wah is mixed with all these people who came before, all these mentioned, the Mu'tazila and Jahmi. Their da'wah is a mixture of all these people. Because the wala and the bara', the having alliance and the splitting away, is the weakest point that they have. Where it should be, as occurred before, the strongest handhold of Islam, with these people it's their weak point, the weakest point. And as occurred in the conference of 1949 that was mentioned, it was mentioned last night as well, where Hasan al-Banna himself said in front of his conference with with regard to the committee formed in 1949 about the Palestine question, Hasan al-Banna said, in my name and in the name of the Jama'at al-Muslimin, Ikhwan al-Muslimin, we declare that our dispute with the Jews is not a religious point and is not a point of aqidah. And indeed the Quran came down encouraging us
يسند القرآن بحسن على مصافاتهم ومصادقتهم.
Have friendship and good feelings with these people. And there are many people who are claim to be Da'is callers coming from this group. The first one mentioned was Dr. Al-Qaradawi, the second Dr. Surabi, and the oldest of them, Dr. Al-Tibai. So with regard to Al-Turabi, the one in Sudan, it will not be hidden from anyone in the east or the west, a Muslim or a non-Muslim, if they keep up with the news and what is happening, it will not be hidden, his affair will not be hidden from them. The conferences he's held, the Muqtamars he's held, he held two major conferences about the gathering together of the religions. And he calls it the conference for the discussion of the different religions. And what he calls to is what he calls the Abrahamic party. The Abrahamic, what is the Abrahamic party which he calls to? It's the gathering of the Jewish religion, the Christian religion, and the Islamic, the religion of Islam, gathering together of these three in this Abrahamic party in order to fight against the atheists and the communists. So how can we gather with these people? How can Islam ever gather with these people, and what basis can we fight upon against anything with these people? And twice. He organized his conferences twice. And in Sudan itself, he raised up a 14 meter high cross. His idol, the cross, he raised it up 14 meters high. And the Pope came over, the Christian Pope came over, and he greeted him. But still he is a caller to Islam. Despite all, it is still a caller to Islam. This is from one angle. Then if we look from another angle, from the Sudanese newspapers in which he speaks, the Sheikh mentions he has spoken. What he says in these newspapers, he said many things that the Sheikh mentioned on tape. And he hopes these things, if they're needed, they can be translated, inshallah. And he encourages the Christian. Some Christian here, some Christian died, and he said about him, he quoted the ayah, "Return to your Lord, being well pleased with you." A Christian. And in this gathering, in the first gathering of his, he got all these different religions and all these different people together and had a unity prayer, a prayer, as he called it, the prayer of peace. They all prayed together. Then what is this? What is this gathering? And he's still, despite all this, a caller to Islam. And then with regard to the other one, As-Sibai, Dr. As-Sibai, he mentioned whatever arrow you throw, you fire at him, whatever accusation you throw his way, it will hit the place where it deserves. He will find it in him. He is a secularist. True. He's along with the secularists. Fully along with the secularists. No problem with the secularists. And in full agreement with the secularists. With the nationalists. With the Jews. With the Christians. With the Rafidi Shia. With the Nubayris. With the Druze. Anyone you can imagine, he's along with them. And he calls to establish a state gathering all this. The state should be established gathering all of this. And that in his state, which he calls to and wants to establish, the Muslim will be in the state, then the Muslim in his state will be dealt with according to the rulings of Islam. And the Jew? No. With regard to the Jew, we apply the Jewish religion to the Jew, the rulings of the Jewish religion. And the Christian, we apply the rulings of the Christian religion to the Christian. And this is to be found in his article which he wrote, called The Battle Against the Constitution, in the magazine Noor of Islam, 1965. The year 1385 after the Hijrah. So the Sheikh mentioned I've spoken in detail about these things, and again on tape, and if it's needed, these things can be translated by the brothers, inshallah. But this is still Islam, and this is still a caller to Islam. And Al-Qaradawi, the third one, the Sheikh mentioned that last night he spoke about him, and that he is indeed upon the way of the founder, Al-Banna. And likewise, with regard to the point, he was also on the same point, that our fight against the Jews is not due to the deen, and is not because of aqidah. It is merely because they have taken our land, away, so we want our land back. This is all. And this is what gathers them. Not da'wah. This is what gathers these people. Not a call to gather the people into Islam, but a call merely for some state, a dawla, a state. That's what they're calling for. But if they ever establish a state, then we can see from what the strategy, what sort of a state it will be. And he declared also, there is no problem for a man attaining the highest station in the state, no problem due to his religion. Religion won't be a problem, or his nationality won't be a problem, or his language won't be a problem for him attaining the highest position in the state. So religion, it doesn't matter what religion he is, his nationality, his language, he can attain the highest place in the state. And also, these groups of takfir, these groups who come and do takfir, declare the Muslims to be unbelievers. They came out from this group, they came out from the Ikhwal Muslimin, they shot out from that. Al-Jihad, Jama'at al-Jihad, Jama'at al-Takfir al-Hijra, the Qutubiyya, al-Sururiyya, they're all from here, all from the same place. And this man, Muhammad Sarur, from the same group, he affirms it in his own books. And this is well known, and the Shaykh says, I don't know if he would thank me about this, but this is something affirmed. And if anybody wants to affirm anything different, then we have the proof for whatever is said. And the Shaykh says this is indeed affirmed in a letter from Sarur that Sarur sent to somebody himself. And this person gave it to the Shaykh, showed the letter to the Shaykh. So he's written this himself, the Shaykh doesn't know if Muhammad Sarur will thank him for this or not, but there it is. And he affirmed in this letter that his call was established to seize the seat of rule, the ruler's seat, away from the oppressors. That Muhammad Sarur's da'wah was established to take away the seat of government, to pull the seats away from the oppressors. That's why his call was established. This is what he admits himself. Whereas the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us with regard to rulers who are oppressive, our Messenger told us with regard to these rulers who are oppressive, any rulers who are oppressive, even if they beat your back and steal your wealth, still you should have patience. As long as they establish prayer in you, as long as they establish the prayer. Some of the companions came and asked if we should cut off their neck. So they were told, not as long as they establish the prayer. Or in another hadith, not unless you see clear and open kufr. Not unless you see clear and open kufr. So with regard to the oppressive rulers, our position and stance is that we have patience. We bear it with patience. But he says no. They're to be removed from their seats. Their seats to be taken away from them. And they're to be rebelled against. So where has he taken this call from? From nowhere but the Khawarij. The people, you know, the opposite to what our position is, that we have patience. No, the Khawarij, we rebel. But rather, the correct thing is that with patience, if there is oppression, then if the people have patience, and there are good things present for the people at least have some benefit still there, along with oppression, then it is better that we have patience, and this is our way, we have patience. And the case was seen in Somalia. The ruler before, the previous ruler, if the people had patience there, the people will tell you, and particularly the brothers here from Somalia will tell you, that within the previous state before, the case was very different. The roads were safe, the wealth was preserved, life was preserved, the situation was okay, comparatively. But then when the fitna comes, and the people don't have patience, and the fitna comes, the roads are cut off. The property is no longer safe and it's stolen. Wealth is stolen, blood is shed, and people die. Many people die. This is when there isn't any patience. And as it used to be said, Sheikh mentioned, a ruler who is oppressive is better than fitna, trials and misfortune, which continues and continues. So where is the position of Sarur? And where is the position of the stance of Sarur with regard to the stance of Imam Ahmad, who was lashed repeatedly? And still, when some people came to him and complained about the rulers and said, shall we rebel against them? Then he answered them, no, withhold from the blood of the Muslims. Fear Allah, which means fear Allah with regard to the blood of the Muslims. Do not spill the blood of the Muslims. Rather, have patience. Have patience so that a righteous person may find ease, or an evil one, or you may be given repose, a situation of repose from an evil one. Something along those lines. So Imam Ahmad told these people to have patience. Why? Because the fitna was upon a particular group of people. The fitna and the trial was upon the scholars. Upon one group of people. They were being tried and oppressed by the rulers. But it was just them. It wasn't everybody in the land. It was the scholars. So Imam Ahmad told them to have patience. Because the rest of the people, the common people, were okay. And they weren't tried and they weren't oppressed. And the rest of their life, they could carry on. Whereas if Imam Ahmad had told them, yes, rebel against the rulers, then the whole of the population would be thrown into fitna, and the trials would become widespread over everybody, and the bloodshed would become widespread over all.
ونختم حديثنا وبعدها إن شاء الله ننصرف إلى الصلاة فنقول إن هؤلاء الدعاة في هذه الجماعات لم يقوموا ليدعو الناس إلى دين الإسلام بدلالة ما ذكرناه، اليهودي على يهوديته والصوفي على صوفيته والمشرك على شركه، وإنما دعوا الناس ليستبشروا بهم حتى يقوموا على الحكام ويخرجوا عليهم ليقيموا الدولة التي ينشدونها. ومن هؤلاء وهؤلاء تحدث الفتن وتضطرب بلاد المسلمين وتزيد فيها المحن والقلاقل، كما نرى الحال في مصر من الجماعات التي تدعي أنها إسلامية، وكما نرى هنا ممن ينتسبون إلى تلكم الجماعات. وكذلك في الجزائر ما حدث من الفتن ويحدث ولا يزال إلى يوم الناس هذا، ما تعلم جاهل ولا اتبع السنة مبتدع، وإنما حرب وقتل واعتداء كله لأجل الوصول إلى الحكم. وكذلك ما حصل من فتنة القطبية السرورية في البلاد السعودية، كلهم أو أكثرهم لما قام هذا الضال محمد المسعري الخارجي التحريري اتفقوا معه، مع أنهم يكرهونه من قبل حسب ما ظهر لنا من بعضهم، ومع أن بعضهم قد رد عليه مثل سلمان العودة رد على المسعري في باب الإيمان بالقدر، رد عليه برسالة وحكم عليه بأنه قدري، ولكن لما قامت اللجنة التي سموها بلجنة الحقوق المخالفة للشريعة التي تطالب بشيء لا يحق لها المطالبة به، قاموا وأيدوه، وقام هذا الضال وأصبح وأنت وأشعل الفتن هو ومن سار في ركبه. ثم بعد ذلك جاء إلى هنا عندكم إلى بريطانيا ويريد أن يقيم دولة الإسلام من بريطانيا. ما شاء الله، ما هي دولة الإسلام التي يريدها؟ دولة الإسلام هي التي إذا حكم فيها المسعري وكان هو الحاكم وحزبه سوف يفتحون الكنائس للنصارى في جزيرة العرب، وسوف يفتحون المعابد للبوذيين والهندوس كما صرح بذلك هو ونقلته عنه مجلة الشرق الأوسط في رمضان الماضي. فهذا هو الإسلام الذي يدعون إليه. يكفرون السعودية وعلماءها وهم يدعون إلى الكفر ويفتحون له الأبواب. يكفرون السعودية وعلماءها وهم يفتخرون بأنهم إذا حكموا سوف يفتحون المعابد للهندوس والكنائس للنصارى. فهذا هو الإسلام الذي يدعون إليه، ومع ذلك يقولون ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. طيب، ومن خالف شرع الله وبنى في أرض الحرمين الكنائس وأجاز أن يقام فيها دين آخر، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يجتمع في جزيرة العرب دينان، من أقام فيها الكنائس وجوز أن يدعى فيها بدين آخر، مع أن الرسول يقول لا يجتمع في جزيرة العرب دينان، ما حكمه؟ للأسف باقي هذا لا يزال مسلما. والذين يحاربون الشرك ويطبعون الكتب في إنكاره من حكام البلاد السعودية ويحاربون المذاهب المنحرفة ويدعمون الدعاة ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويفتحون المحاكم الشرعية ويطبقون الحدود، ولا يتقدمون بين أيديهم، هؤلاء حكمهم كفار. يا سبحان الله، أي إسلام هذا؟ من هنا معشر الإخوة نعلم ويتضح جليا مما ذكرته في أول حديثي إلى الآن أن هذه ليست دعوة إلى الله، وإنما هي دعوة إلى السياسة والملك ليحكم هؤلاء ويتسلطوا على المسلمين ويذيقوهم سوء العذاب، عافانا الله وإياكم من ذلك. وهذا كله لا يرونه من أنفسهم، ويقولون عن الدعاة السلفيين إنهم مرجئة، يعني لأنهم لا يوافقونهم في تكفير الحكام عموما ولا يوافقونهم في تكفير المجتمعات الإسلامية. وإذا تنزلنا وسلمنا لهم هذا القول فهم ماذا يصيرون؟ إذا كان السلفيون، إذا تنزلنا وسلمنا لهم الكلام الذي قالوه عن السلفيين إنهم مرجئة مع الحكام، فنسألهم نحن أنتم ماذا تكونون؟ إنكم الخوارج لا شك في ذلك ولا ريب، وجدكم هو ذو الخويصرة الذي أنكر على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال اعدل يا محمد. وإذا شئتم مصداق كلامي فاقرأوا ما كتب من الكتب في مهاجمة البلاد السعودية من هؤلاء الذين يقولون إنهم دعاة، إن قضيتهم كلها في المطالبة بثروات المسلمين. والدولة السعودية يقولون بددت ثروات المسلمين وهكذا، فالقضية كلها حول المال. أما الدين فقد سمعتم أنهم لا يمانعون من فتح الكنائس والمعابد البوذية لو حكموا البلاد، خيب الله آمالهم وقطع دابرهم، ونسأل الله جل وعلا أن يكفيناهم بما شاء. أيها الإخوة، إن الدعوة السلفية إنما قامت على يد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوة خالصة تدعو الناس إلى أن يوحدوا الله سبحانه وتعالى، لا تدعوهم إلى أن يكونوا في حزب مع فلان أو مع فلان. فكل من كان على طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو أخونا، علمنا به أو لم نعلمه، نحبه وندعو له ونؤيده ونبارك جهوده في إخراجه الناس من الظلمات إلى النور، ومن الشرك إلى الإسلام، ومن البدعة إلى السنة، ومن الجهل إلى العلم. هذا الذي ندعو إليه، ندعو الناس جميعا ليسيروا في صراط الله المستقيم، تصح عقائدهم وتصح عباداتهم وتصح معاملاتهم وتصح أخلاقهم. أقول تصح عقيدتهم وتصح عباداتهم وتصح معاملاتهم وتصح أخلاقهم، تستقيم كلها على دين الله المطهر، كما جاء بذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على حد قوله تعالى: وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون. فسبيل الله هو ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه، والسبل البدع المحدثة التي خالفت هذا السبيل مما ذكرناه من الفرق السابقة. وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرزقنا وإياكم الإخلاص والفقه في دين الله، كما أسأله جل وعلا أن يجنبنا الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
So the Sheikh mentioned that we will close with a small word before we go for the prayer. That the callers in these groups, they are not established and do not call to Allah. This is not what they are about. And it is proven by what has been said, that with regard to them, it's okay if the Jew remains upon what he is upon, the Sufi remains upon what he is upon, and the person of Shirk remains upon what he is upon. And this is no problem with them. What they call to is merely call to a gathering and increase of numbers. We gather as many people as we can, gather more and more people. For what purpose? Merely rebellion against the rulers. Rebellion against the rulers to establish their own idea of the state. So with this purpose of theirs, they cause great fitna and great trials in the Muslim lands, and great tribulations and troubles. And we see this in many Muslim lands, as in Egypt, where these groups that claim to be Islamic groups, the trouble and the trials that they cause. And then their corners come here to this country and cause fitna also. And in other lands such as Algeria, the fitna they've caused there as well. And what have they done in Algeria? What have they established? And ignorant people have not been guided to understanding of the religion. People of innovation have not been guided to the sunnah. Rather they have fought and they have killed and blood has been spilled, just so that they can establish and reach rule and leadership. And the Qutubis, the Sururis, they say, oh Lord, with regard to the da'wah of the Qutubis, the Sururis, then what they did in Saudi is very clear. The Qutubis and Sururis, what the trouble they have caused in the land of the Saudi, and how they have aided and helped this man of Mis'ari, this Baal, and this man who is astray, this Mis'ari, this Kharij, the one from the Khawarij, this person from Hizb al-Tahrir, this man. Then these Qutubis and Sururis there in Saudi, they aid this man and they help this man and agree with this man. when before they used to hate him, and they used to reject him and reply to him, but now they hate him. Salman al-Awda, for example, he wrote a reply to this man, al-Mith'ari, with regard to al-Mith'ari's belief about the Iman in the pre-decree in Qadr. Salman al-Awda wrote a reply to him and rebutted him. And he gave a judgment in a treatise which he wrote that this man al-Mith'ari is a Qadri. He is from the Qadriyyah, the deniers of the Qadr. But when the so-called Lajna of rights, the Lajna of Hukuk, so-called, when this was established, and this itself being something totally against the Sharia, and which makes claims which have no right for, they supported it. These same people supported this thing, led by al-Mith'ari. They supported it and aided it, and caused fitna, and caused trouble in the land. And then this Mith'ari came here, to this land, to call to Islam. Supposedly to call to Islam. From here, from Britain? What Islam and what state is he going to call to from here, from Britain? Well, so what is he calling to? And what is his call? And he makes it clear in his own words, he's made it very clear, that if he establishes this state of his, of Mith'ari, he will open up the land of Saudi Arabia for the building of churches for the Christians, and for the building of places of worship for the Buddhists, and building of places of worship for the Hindus. This is his state. And this was stated in the newspaper, Ashraf al-Awsat, of last Ramadan. This is what he says and calls to. Is this Islam? Is this the Islamic state which is this is the Islamic state which is calling to? And he calls to takfir that the Saudiya is a state of unbelief, and the rulers are unbelievers, and the scholars are unbelievers in Saudi Arabia. This is his call. Oh, this is what he claims, and at the same time he himself is proud to call the people. When we attain our Islamic state, we'll open it up so the Christians can have churches and the Hindus can have places of worship. And the people still, and then they still have the audacity to say, those who don't judge by what Allah reveals, they are the unbelievers. Then what is he judging by in this idea of state of his? And what is he doing when the land that gathers Mecca and Medina, he's going to establish churches there and places of worship for the unbelievers? When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there should not be two religions gathered in the Arabian Peninsula, there should not be two religions gathered there, and this is what he's going to do, or he would like to do, then what is his ruling in this matter? What is the ruling if you apply this ayah which they use? Okay, what if we apply the ayah to him? This is his ruling, then what is his status? So they should know he is still Muslim. But with regard to the state of Saudi Arabia, which prints books of correct aqidah and distributes the books of correct aqidah and fights against shirk and orders good and prohibits evil and establishes Sharia court and establishes the laws of Islam, prescribe punishment, then, and they respect the scholars and give importance to the scholars and ask the scholars, and they don't throw away and reject what the scholars say, then what about them? What do they say about this? These are unbelievers. So what is Islam that these people call to? Merely politics, are called to politics, and attainment of rule for themselves, and nothing more. For them to gain rule in the land. And if they ever established this rule, what would it be? What sort of a state would it be? And how terrible and severe it would be for the Muslims in that land, if they ever attained such a thing. And they call the true callers to the Salafi way. What do these people call those who call to the way of the Salaf? They say they are murji'a. They are the murji'a. Why? Because we do not agree with them when they say the rulers are unbelievers. And the whole state, the Islamic states are the states of unbelief. We don't agree with them, so they say we are murji'a. So, even if the Salafis were to accept, if we accept for the sake of argument, what they say, okay, if we are to be murji'a, then what are you with your call? Except Khawarij. What do you accept Khawarij? And your grandfather is Zulfawaisira, the one who said to the Prophet, the grandfather of the Khawarij, who said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, choose justice, O Muhammad. This is the grandfather in this. And we see from many books how they have fought against the Saudi state, and they fight against it, and the good that is there, and they state as well, what is their purpose, what is behind all this? Because the state in Saudi Arabia, they say, has stolen the wealth of the Muslims. So this is all they want. They fight for wealth, and they fight for rule themselves. Nothing more. And if they came to rule, then we could see what it would be like. So we ask Allah to suffice with that evil, to be sufficient for us against the evil of these people. Rather, the true Salafi call, as opposed to this guidance which came before, the true Salafi call is the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true and sincere da'wah, to call all of the people that they sincerely and worship their Lord, and they call their worship purely for Him. And they do not call to any party, the party of this man, or you should be part of the party of this man or that man. No. Everyone should be upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and anybody who is our brother. Whether we know him, or we don't know him, someone known to us, or someone unknown to us. If they are upon that way, and they are calling to that way, and striving for that way, then he is our brother, and we love him, and we thank him for this effort of his in calling the people out of misguidance to guidance, and out of shirk and kufr, and to iman and islam, and calling people away from bid'ah, and calling them into the sunnah, and calling people from falsehood to truth. This is the correct way. And this is the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, the call to everything to be upon their way. And we should return in matters of aqidah, belief, and in matters of worship, and in matters of manners, and in matters of dealing, and in matters of everything should be upon that way. From that which the Messenger of Allah and the Salaf were upon. That is the true cause. And then all the affairs will be put right. This is, as we mentioned in the ayah, this is the straight way. So follow it, and do not follow the divergent ways. This is what Allah has admonished you with, has counseled you with. And the way of Allah's way, which is mentioned in the various ayahs, the way of Allah, is the way which the Messenger of Allah was upon, and his companions. And the false ways, the subul, are the innovative, the ways of the innovators, and the deviant sects, which we have spoken about and which are clear. And we ask Allah to grant us sincerity and purity of intention, and to grant us understanding in the religion, and to keep us safe from all trials and misfortunes, whatever are open and whatever is hidden from that. And his sent salutations upon the Messenger of Allah and his companions, and those upon his way.
Ya Ikhwan, before you leave inshallah, the Shaykh has received a lot of questions on these issues. If you, these questions to be answered, then come back here after Salah for these questions to be answered.
This tape has been brought to you by Intashara Dawah to Islamiyah, Troyes, the Reign of Islamic Dawah. The location of our center is on your tape cover, as well as it should have a listing of our current classes. In the meantime, if you wish to visit us on the internet, our website is www.troid.org. Our email address is dawah@troid.org. Thank you for listening to this tape.